manipulations end badly. You can only suppress a price or manipulate a market for a long extended period of time by pushing it in the direction that it is going. And if it starts to move the other way and you're still trying to cling to the same program that you've done in the past, that's when things get very dangerous.
You're watching Silver News Daily. Subscribe for more.
The entire financial system is hanging by a thread, and the spark that could bring it all crashing down is silver. Right now, the COMEX is facing a crisis so severe it could trigger one of the most violent short squeezes in modern financial history. A staggering 54 million ounces are being shorted, an amount not seen in 14 years. And behind the scenes, massive players are standing for physical delivery, not paper. This isn't just about market games anymore. The paper silver lie is unraveling, and the physical metal is vanishing fast. But here's what no one's talking about. The U.S. government has just declared silver a critical national security asset. That means it's no longer just a commodity. It's strategic, it's essential, and it's now a target for government hoarding. And if you think the retail crowd is going to get their hands on silver once that starts, think again. Add to that the bond market chaos. Japan, the UK, even the UZ, and we're staring straight at a global monetary reset. Silver is the fuse, and it's already been lit. The cracks in the COMEX, the evaporating physical supply, the massive institutional demand, it's all converging into a pressure cooker with no release valve. And when it blows, $100 silver won't just be possible. It'll be conservative. So how did we get here? And why is the COMEX now ground zero for what could become the biggest financial eruption in a generation? Stay with me, because what you're about to hear will change the way you see silver forever.
And that the long end of the curve is not controlled by the central bank. The long end of the curve is the 10 or the 30 year would be all about the bond market. The bond market itself, who it's basically saying that, yes, there will always be demand for these treasuries, whether they be in the United Kingdom or in Japan or in the United States, but at what rate? And the bond market, I think when at least here in the United States, when we try and talk about rate cuts and pushing down the front end of the curve, I think you'll see something similar. We saw it already. What happened several months ago when they tried to lower the short end by 100 basis points? The 10-year went up almost exactly the same amount. It's what we're seeing. We're at the end game where there's so much debt out there that rates have to go higher to compensate for not only the poor performance of the currencies, the underlying currencies, but also for, you know, the interest rates that we're getting paid on the yield on the treasuries that you're buying due to inflation and devaluation, if you will, of globally, of the value of the currencies that it's valued or that they're valued in. So I don't know if I made that very clear other than to simply say the bond market is more powerful than the central planners. And especially at this late stage game where it's become very obvious that these countries want to inflate their way or print their way out of the problem. And the bond market is saying you're going to have to pay a much higher rate of return in order for us to accept your bonds.
The illusion of stability in the silver market begins and ends with COMEX. But that illusion is cracking fast. For years, traders have accepted the idea that COMEX futures represent real silver, that every paper contract could be backed by actual ounces sitting in vaults. But now, that belief is being obliterated. The COMEX is currently holding a 54 million ounce short position, the highest we've seen in 14 years. And that's not just a big number. It's a flashing red warning sign that the system is dangerously overleveraged. Here's the problem. This isn't just speculative hedging. These shorts are sitting on top of a dwindling pool of physical metal, and the COMEX's own vaults are being emptied faster than they can replenish. The illusion only works if people keep rolling over contracts without demanding delivery. But that game is ending. Institutions are now calling the bluff and standing for physical. And the moment paper holders demand the actual metal in large enough quantities, the entire system buckles. This is why experts like Andy Schechtman are sounding the alarm. Because this isn't about silver moving a few bucks. This is about the collapse of trust in the very mechanism that's been used to suppress silver for decades. COMEX was designed to control price through leverage. not to honor widespread physical claims. And now, as more and more contracts seek delivery, the curtain is being pulled back. If the COMEX can't meet its delivery obligations, the consequences will be explosive. Prices will gap higher, paper holders will panic, and a rush for physical silver will follow that makes the GameStop short squeeze look like child's play. And this isn't hypothetical anymore, it's already happening. But the full story doesn't stop here, because the pressure isn't just coming from short interest, it's coming from delivery demand.
I think a real bull market is one that continues to move up gradually, kind of like what we're seeing here. I would argue the difference right now between this market and ones in past is the corrections. The corrections are nowhere near what they were before, where they would get, you would see a correction and the price would get stepped on and go lower and lower and lower, wouldn't come back, like in 2011. The corrections that we are seeing now are very shallow. While they can be steep, they don't last very long, and the price comes right back. That is a underlying reality of physical demand at the highest levels. What's unusual about this one is the price. If you would have told me gold would be at $3,500, and most people wouldn't know a gold eagle if it fell on their foot, is shocking to me, which tells me we're very early yet in this bull market. But a price that continues to move higher without gaining any attention, to me, is very bullish, because it's the biggest money in the world that is pushing it higher as the public is moving it completely and totally lockstep in the other direction. It's, to me, very, very bullish and a contrarian indicator that this is indeed happening.
In a market supposedly dominated by paper contracts, what just happened at the COMEX has shattered the illusion. 42 million ounces of silver have been stood for delivery. And here's the kicker. This happened in September, a month not even designated for delivery. That number isn't just big, it's historic. And it proves one thing beyond a shadow of a doubt. The big players no longer trust the paper game. They want metal, not promises. When you see delivery requests of this size, outside of the normal schedule, it means something is deeply broken beneath the surface. COMEX has operated for decades on the assumption that most contracts would be rolled over or settled in cash. But when 42 million ounces are physically demanded in a non-delivery month, it signals an institutional stampede away from the synthetic and toward the tangible. This kind of move doesn't happen in isolation. It's the result of mounting pressure from every direction: industrial buyers, sovereign wealth funds, even hedge funds that smell blood in the water. The paper markets are becoming irrelevant because they no longer reflect reality. And that reality is this: the physical silver is vanishing. Vaults are being drained. Supply is tightening. And the players demanding delivery are doing so for a reason. They know that when the panic starts, there won't be enough silver to go around. What's unfolding is not a normal market shift. It's the early stages of a full-blown breakdown in trust. And when trust collapses in a financial system built on paper, prices don't just rise. They erupt. But we haven't even touched the next pressure point, the one that shows just how disconnected the futures market has become from real-world silver. Because while 42 million ounces are being demanded, another number is quietly screaming that a shortage is here right now.
But when you have such large short positions, that can be a very big problem. You get short squeezes, then you really get prices moving in a vertical, parabolic fashion. Nickel's a good example, except they basically reversed all the transactions. And as far as I'm concerned, LBMA lost all credibility when they did that. But that's what happens when you mess with Mother Nature and you suppress all of these things for, you know, ill intent. The markets need to operate freely. Free markets seem to find equilibrium where they should be when you suppress the freedom in free markets and allow these distortions to happen. That's why all manipulations end badly. You can only suppress a price or manipulate a market for a long extended period of time by pushing it in the direction that it is going. And if it starts to move the other way and you're still trying to cling to the same program that you've done in the past, that's when things get very dangerous. And that's where we are right now. I would argue that will end badly, and you'll see prices go much higher. You'll see whether it be hedge funds or commercial banks go under as a result of their stupidity to short all of these. It's an existential threat. One could argue this is what put Bear Stearns out of business. So to me, you just play the long game, and it's been a long, arduous journey to where we are now. But if I would have told people, you know, a year ago that we'll be staring at $42, you know, in early, mid-2025, I think most people would have been happy about that. Quite frankly, I think it's just beginning. We're a long ways away from seeing where this ultimately stops, but this is where it should have been a long time ago, and I think it's still got a lot of room to run based upon everything that I'm seeing, whether it be anecdotally or economically, or just by the movements of the biggest players in the world with Russia and India and Saudi Arabia and China. They're all gobbling up silver as fast as they can. Evidently, so are the folks in the United States now, too, at least on the COMEX. When that translates to the retail side, which I believe it will, something will wake up the public. That's when we'll see real fireworks. And of course, we're not there yet, but that's a benefit to all of you who are trying to add to your portfolio before the prices get out of hand.
The silver market is now flashing a siren so loud it can't be ignored. And that siren is the Exchange for Physical Spread, or EFP. Under normal conditions, the EFP, basically the cost to convert a futures contract into real deliverable metal, hovers between 15 to 20 cents. But recently, it's exploded to $1.14. That's not a fluctuation. That's a rupture. An EFP that high signals something urgent. Either there's extreme physical tightness in London's LBMA vaults, or the financial system behind silver is under severe stress. And in reality, it's both. It's now so expensive to convert paper contracts into real silver that it's no longer just about market inefficiencies. It's about desperation. This spread doesn't widen because of minor logistical issues. It blows out when there's a scramble behind the scenes, when institutions are fighting to get their hands on what little silver remains. The price premium is the market's way of shouting, "We don't have enough metal to go around." And when the cost to access physical silver decouples this dramatically from futures pricing, it creates the perfect condition for a short squeeze. Here's why this matters. If the futures price is artificially low due to shorts and manipulation, but physical silver is commanding a massive premium, arbitrage eventually breaks the system. Investors will rush to buy cheap futures and demand physical delivery, forcing the shorts to either come up with metal they don't have or buy back their positions at skyrocketing prices. We are watching the fuse burn in real time. The $1.14 EFP isn't just a data point. It's proof that silver's physical market is screaming louder than ever, and the paper market is on borrowed time. But the problem runs even deeper than the COMEX or the EFP, because one of the most popular vehicles for silver investment, SLV, is sitting on a bomb of its own.
I think they didn't. When you see eight Western banks, and I'll talk about Ed Steer's chart again that you showed several months ago, when you see eight Western banks that maintain the largest concentrated position of any commodity ever traded on COMEX, it's not to hold down the price. Well, it is, but it's not price that's bothering them, because silver is inelastic. You don't need a lot to make a very expensive item. Even if it's 500 ounces in a Tomahawk cruise missile that costs millions and millions of dollars, or a fifth of or a sixth or an eighth of an ounce in an iPhone, the cost of the finished product is so much higher than the little incremental price of silver. It doesn't matter. More along the lines of they've tried to step on it because rising price would attract demand, and there's not enough availability of it. The price has been skewed by the trading on COMEX and the LBMA. It's real value skewed, and so I think the rising price would attract investors, speculators. They don't want that. It's more along the lines of being able to access stockpiles of silver rather than the cost of the silver. I know that sounds kind of strange, but if you're making it for all of these critical components, it's less about the price and more about the availability, because it's used in such small amounts in whatever the finished product is. But you're right. It has been suppressed. It has been held down. It has been manipulated. And I think now there's a race to accumulate it because indeed it is strategic. It is critical. It is needed not just in electronics and electrical components, just about anything that conducts electricity. It is needed in military components. It is needed in medical devices. It is needed in so many places, solar panels, etc. And that plurality of demand, from monetary demand to military demand to industrial demand, makes it strategic, every bit as strategic as any of these other strategic metals. And I think that's the change, is that Trump understands it, his administration understands it. So, this is something I think that will continue. And there will be, at some point, I see a battle between the industrials and the, or shall I say, the manufacturers, the producers who need it, and the investors. So you're going to get companies like Tesla and Panasonic and Sony and whatnot in a battle for what's available. As the hedge funds and the investors start to pick the other side, they're going to battle. And it's about availability of a depleting asset. It's not as much about the price, but just about the availability. And you start to turn, wake everyone up just like that. It disappears. And what is a shortage on COMEX spills into a shortage globally across the board into retail as well. Not there yet. There's still great values, but I see that happening as where this ultimately goes.
The SLVETF is supposed to be the easy button for silver investors, a way to get exposure to the metal without having to store it yourself. But behind the marketing gloss lies a ticking time bomb. Right now, the SLV is sitting on a 54 million ounce short position, the highest in 14 years. That's not just a red flag. That's a flare fired straight into the sky, warning that something is deeply wrong. Here's the catch. SLV is supposed to be backed by physical silver. But with that kind of short interest, the truth becomes impossible to ignore. There isn't enough metal to go around. The ETF has become a paper promise, detached from the very asset it claims to represent. And even BlackRock, the asset manager behind SLV, has admitted in official filings that significant shortages of silver could make it impossible for the fund to acquire the metal needed to meet demand. Let that sink in. The world's largest silver investment product may not be able to acquire the silver it needs. What happens when millions of investors suddenly realize their shares don't guarantee them access to real metal? They sell. Or worse, they try to redeem. And that's when the squeeze begins. This is more than a liquidity risk. This is a systemic vulnerability. If confidence in SLV evaporates, it could trigger a rush into physical silver unlike anything we've ever seen. And unlike digital shares, real silver isn't created with a keystroke. It has to be mined, refined, shipped, and stored. There are hard limits, and we're rapidly approaching them. What we're witnessing is the slow-motion exposure of a leveraged fractional reserve system built on the illusion of abundance. And SLV isn't the only player that's quietly losing control. The stakes have just been raised by the U.S. government itself. Because while the private sector scrambles, Washington has just made a move that changes everything about silver's role in the future economy.
See what the futures are. Right now, the silver futures are 41.59, so come back a little bit, still up 87 cents. And so, we're beginning to see accumulation by the big money quietly start to translate into higher prices at a time when the public is still completely and totally asleep at the switch. Same thing we're seeing in platinum, that's kind of been quiet, but it's interesting because platinum and silver, which have both done very well, have now been reclassified as critical minerals by the government. And so it's almost like it's the Treasury preparing to stockpile again. We've talked a lot about platinum or silver and the shortage, but the Japanese guy who is the head of the TOCOM Exchange has come out and said there's no platinum available in London or Switzerland, yet they're trading 3 million ounces of spot contracts deliverable per day. Well, that's also been classified as critical. So I would expect hoarding of both platinum and silver. And, you know, I think what the U.S. is realizing that these are national priorities. We've talked about that. Someone got into his ear and said, this is what the BRICS are doing. We better do the same thing. And then you look at the way that some countries are reacting right now. As right at the same time, U.S. declares silver as a national priority, you have Saudi Arabia buy a bunch in SLV. You see India's demand of silver is up 431% year over year in May, and record ETF inflows in June despite higher prices. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of demand for physical metal that hasn't translated into the retail side of it yet. But the rest of the world, the big money, whether it be on the exchanges or the central banks or the sovereign wealth funds, are making it very clear that silver and gold are quite significant, and platinum, to their plans moving forward.
Just before we get going, we just launched the official Silver News Daily Telegram. To kick things off, we're running a 10-ounce silver giveaway. Yes. Real physical silver, not a voucher, not digital credits, actual bullion. This Telegram will be our new home for real-time silver discussions, market insights, collection picks, and everything precious metals. It's where the community truly comes alive. Here's how to enter the 10-ounce silver giveaway. Be subscribed to Silver News Daily on YouTube. Turn on the notification bell. Comment 10-ounce giveaway on 3 separate videos. Be an active member of the Telegram group and say hi. Once we hit 500 active Telegram members, we'll pick one lucky winner to receive 10 ounces of silver shipped directly to you. So get in early, stay active.
In a move that's gone almost completely under the radar, the U.S. government has officially declared silver a critical mineral, placing it at the top of the national priority list for stockpiling and strategic security. This isn't some bureaucratic reclassification. It's a seismic shift in how the government views silver, not just as a monetary or industrial commodity, but as a strategic asset vital to the nation's defense, energy, and technological infrastructure. And that means one thing. The U.S. is now a buyer, a big one. Think about what this really signals. By labeling silver as critical, Washington is effectively admitting that supply chains are vulnerable, that global access is no longer guaranteed, and that the metal is too important to leave in the hands of foreign producers or market forces. This designation isn't symbolic. It paves the way for aggressive national stockpiling, export restrictions, and direct competition with industry and investors for what's left of the physical supply. This puts the entire silver market on a collision course. Because silver isn't just needed for coins and bullion, it's essential to semiconductors, electric vehicles, solar panels, 5G infrastructure, and military tech. The U.S. military can't afford to run out. Neither can Tesla. Neither can the national grid. And now, neither can the government. With this one designation, the U.S. has joined the list of heavyweights fighting for silver alongside India, Saudi Arabia, China, and sovereign wealth funds across the globe. But unlike private investors, the government doesn't have to wait in line. It can outbid, outregulate, and outmaneuver the open market. This raises the stakes for everyone else. The supply pool just shrank overnight, and the new competitor is backed by unlimited printing power. The crowd hasn't realized it yet, but the silver market has entered a new era, one where national security trumps free market availability. But here's the catch. Industrial users still need silver, and they're not going to stop demanding it. In fact, their appetite is only getting more ferocious.
Well, I mean, look, right now, gold is at an all-time high of 24% of global reserves as of Q1 this year. It's the highest in 30 years anyway. And whereas the U.S. dollar share fell to 42%, that's the lowest since, I don't know, at least 1990. And so, you know, we've seen so far in September, the September deliveries, 267,200 ounces or 8.3 tons have been delivered into COMEX. Over 42 million ounces of silver, 1.3 tons, which is a massive amount in a non-delivery month. One of the things that I find to be particularly disgusting, Ed Stier talks a lot about it, is the short position on SLV at a 14-year high of 54 million ounces short. And it's funny because BlackRock previously warned of shortages in that there could come a time when there's not enough silver to cover these short positions. They warned about it, and they talked about it in the ETFs. We also see right now exchange for physical on silver spread of $1.14. This is extraordinarily high. Normally, it's just a matter of, 15, 20 cents or less. At $1.14, this signals either physical shortages or financial stress in the markets in London, where they can exchange for physical a contract, COMEX contract into London. At $1.14, that's way, way, way up from what it should be, and this is not a good thing. At the same time, we see silver, really, and gold breaking out of a multi-month consolidation where it's been trading at a sideways pattern and shot up recently, of course, over the weekend or into the weekend at futures at $42 right now. In fact, let me just take a look.
Silver isn't just a monetary metal anymore. It's the irreplaceable engine behind the modern world. And right now, the industrial machine is devouring silver at a pace the market simply cannot sustain. Solar panels, electric vehicles, artificial intelligence infrastructure, 5G towers, these aren't speculative fads. They're trillion-dollar global transformations, and silver is the one metal that ties them all together. Start with solar. Nearly 20% of global silver demand now comes from solar panel production alone. Why? It's because silver is the most conductive metal on Earth, and there's no viable substitute in high-efficiency photovoltaic cells. Governments worldwide are racing to meet net zero targets, and that means solar deployment is accelerating and taking more silver with it every year. Then there's electric vehicles. Every EV requires up to 3 times more silver than a traditional gas-powered car, thanks to the metal's role in battery connections, onboard electronics, and charging infrastructure. Automakers aren't slowing down. In fact, by 2030, EV production is expected to triple. That means demand from the auto sector alone could push silver consumption into uncharted territory. And we haven't even touched the rise of AI. Behind every advanced computing center, every hyperscale data hub, is a web of high-frequency, high-voltage systems that rely on, you guessed it, silver. From server cooling to precision circuits, AI isn't just consuming electricity, it's consuming silver by the ton. What makes this even more dangerous is that industrial demand is inelastic. That means when prices rise, manufacturers don't cut back, they pay more. These aren't investors trying to time the market. These are tech giants, energy developers, and governments trying to meet deadlines. They can't afford to stop buying. So while investors fight over coins and bars, and the COMEX melts under pressure, the industrial world is quietly cornering the silver supply out of pure necessity. And here's where it all converges. Supply is shrinking, demand is growing. And unlike other commodities, this is a market that can't slow down. But the supply problem isn't temporary, it's structural, and that's what we'll uncover next.
What it all is, I mean, who in their right mind would hold any duration at all of a treasury in an environment where they have no choice but to print and to weaken the dollar? I think that's really the crux of it all. And that, when you talk about what higher rates would do, higher rates would actually be the cure for a lot of these problems, as it would make assets more affordable for people, as we would see real valuations. We'd see real price discovery. And, aside from the fact that we have, have no choice, rather, but to continue to inflate. We're going to reaccelerate the inflation engine by cutting rates, and that's the thing: is that these people, the bond market, understands that. That when we bring it home and look at the United States, you know, rising inflation into a weakening labor market where we've seen 461,000 jobs revised. At the same time, they're talking about upwards of 500,000 job revision here leading up to the September rate cut meeting. That's what they're expecting. And this is in an environment where, and I'm sure it's similar around the world, the CPI has stayed above 2% for 53 straight months. The PPI, the producer price inflation measure, is at a three-year high. So I think all of these countries basically, or all these bond markets basically, realize that cuts would be a short-term debt relief tool, but at the cost of massive money printing and more inflation. So for the long end, we need much higher rates in order to justify it. I would expect to see the same thing in the U.S. bond market, if not for overt, quantitative easing, in essence, where the government comes in and acts as the buyer of last resort. Because who in their right mind would buy a treasury yielding 4% on a 30-year when the dollar's already down 11% this year and inflation is running much higher than that? Just ask John Williams, not the 3% or just under that we're being told, but he'd say add 8 to those numbers. You're at 11% inflation, if you're being honest. Rates have to go much higher to attract that demand.
For years, the silver market has operated under a silent but deadly imbalance, a structural deficit that's only getting worse. This isn't about temporary dips in supply or sudden spikes in demand. It's about a multi-year grinding shortfall where silver consumption outpaces mine production year after year, and the world is finally starting to feel the consequences. According to the Silver Institute, we've now seen multiple consecutive years of global silver deficits with no end in sight. In 2024, the world consumed significantly more silver than it produced. In 2025, the gap widened even further. And this isn't some fringe data point. It's the foundation of a crisis that could make a $100 silver price not just possible, but inevitable. Why? Because silver isn't like oil or copper. It's not mined for its own sake. Most silver is produced as a byproduct of other mining operations, namely zinc, lead, and copper. So when those base metal markets slow down, silver supply tightens, even if silver demand stays strong. It's a bottleneck that mining companies can't just fix by turning up production. And while supply remains constrained, demand is exploding. We've already talked about solar, EVs, AI, and the U.S. government stepping in as a strategic buyer. But there's more. India's silver imports surged 431% year over year in May 2025, showing just how aggressive global accumulation has become, even at higher prices. The key here is understanding that we're not heading toward a shortage. We're already in one. Above ground inventories are being drawn down, and vaults are being emptied. And as the structural deficit continues, the remaining supply is being siphoned off by the biggest and fastest buyers. This is a slow-motion collapse in availability, not because of one crisis, but because of an unstoppable mismatch between how much silver the world needs and how little it can produce. And the most concerning part? The smart money already knows this. They're not waiting for confirmation. They're front-running the collapse right now. Because behind the scenes, some of the world's most powerful entities are quietly stockpiling silver at a scale the public can't even comprehend.
Wanting to be was a social influencer. And you have all of these kids in China that are becoming engineers and astronauts and becoming proficient in AI from elementary school on. These are the things we're getting left behind, whether it be in the way that our kids are being raised with education, or what's happening in our U.S. foreign policy missteps under the Trump administration. As much as I would vote for him again, I think he really overplayed his hand with a country like India. And, I think that these are the kind of mistakes that are going to have ramifications with the continuing emergence and strengthening of not only the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, but the BRICS. We have not heard the end of that yet, but I found it interesting that more or less Modi came out and said, you know, we're not going to back down from our relationship with Russia and or our oil purchases from them. It's more important than just about anything right now. So how this all plays out, I guess we'll see. But putting 50% tariffs on India was, I think, a big misstep. And that's what I took out of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization meeting. Other than that, like I said, likely to see payrolls be revised. I've read from anywhere from 500 to 800,000, which they will use to justify rate cuts. But when you have U.S. stock valuations now at the most expensive in history, surpassing the dot-com and pre-Great Depression levels, you got some serious risks ahead if indeed they do this, as the public is all in on equities, all in on margin, all in highest ever, and all in on options exposure highest ever. That's a dangerous market as the insiders are moving this way, the other way. So I don't know. It's not too much happened that is off the charts this week. I'm sure there will be by next week, but just more continuation of the same.
While the average investor debates whether silver will hit $30 or $40, the real players have already made their move, and they're doing it quietly. Across the globe, powerful institutions and sovereign entities are secretly hoarding silver on a massive scale. This isn't speculation. This is accumulation. And it's happening outside the Western spotlight. Take India. Despite rising prices, Indian silver ETF inflows hit record highs in mid-2025, and physical imports surged over 400% year over year. That's not a retail frenzy. That's coordinated large-scale acquisition. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund, one of the most well-capitalized entities on the planet, has begun buying SLV shares in bulk, quietly building exposure to silver without triggering alarm. And then there's China. Already the largest importer of silver in the world, China has begun stockpiling aggressively, locking down supply for its solar industry, military expansion, and long-term monetary strategy. In the wake of its gold-buying spree, which pushed central bank gold reserves to 24% of global totals, China's pivot to silver is not a guess. It's a playbook. These aren't ordinary investors chasing trends. These are nations and financial giants treating silver as monetary insurance and strategic leverage in a world where fiat systems are visibly breaking down. And what makes this even more concerning is the public's total lack of awareness. While central banks and sovereign funds drain supply, the average retail investor is still sitting on the sidelines, lulled into complacency by manipulated prices and mainstream disinterest. But this is how major moves always happen: quiet accumulation before explosive revaluation. Once retail demand ignites, and it always does during monetary shocks, the available silver will already be gone. Prices won't rise gradually, they'll gap up violently. And by then, the smart money will already be out of reach. But none of this happens in a vacuum. There's a bigger storm brewing. Because while silver is being drained from vaults, the bond market, the very foundation of the fiat system, is collapsing under its own weight.
A lot of gold and silver coming into the market, into COMEX. So far for September, 267,000 ounces delivered. 42 million ounces of silver delivered, which is huge. We talked about the shorts are up big time in SLV, which is huge. We talked about the BRICS meeting, the Shanghai Cooperation meeting. I think what I take away from that is that Trump overplayed his card with India, threatening 50% tariffs. When you look at the actual numbers, even though we are their largest trading partner, arguably, it only accounts for under 3% of their GDP, their trade with us. You look at a country like Mexico or Canada, where it's the majority, that's different. We'll have greater weight. The purchase of Russian oil for India is far, far more important to them. And this is why you see Xi and Modi and Putin shake hands and smile and hug at the Shanghai Cooperation meeting. The SCO is no small organization. I've talked a lot about it on your show. It's over 40% of global population, 35% of global GDP, 24% of the land area. And so when you talk about takeaways, I think the fact that Modi stresses strategic autonomy, Will not trade long-term interest for short-term appeasement. And, you know, they're making stronger ties with Russia, with energy and defense and security. One of the things that I found interesting was that China is now embarking upon mandatory AI education from primary school, building all the way up through high school to build a AI talent pipeline. And so I found that to be very interesting. I also found it interesting that the of all of the Gen Zs polled, that the number one job that came out on top.
The global financial system rests on one cornerstone, confidence in government bonds. But that cornerstone is crumbling. Right now, the bond markets of major economies, Japan and the UK in particular, are in free fall. Charts are breaking down. Yields are spiking uncontrollably. And the entire structure of sovereign debt is starting to unravel in plain sight. This isn't some abstract macroeconomic trend. This is the death rattle of the fiat system. When governments lose control of their bond markets, the consequences cascade through everything. Banking, currency stability, and investor psychology. And when confidence in bonds disappears, capital doesn't vanish. It relocates into hard assets, into precious metals. Silver's role in this shift is pivotal. Unlike real estate or equities, silver is liquid, portable, and deeply undervalued. And unlike gold, silver's price has been artificially held down for years, creating what many experts believe is the most asymmetric trade in modern history. Let's break this down further. In an effort to keep economies afloat, central banks have tried to lower short-term rates to stimulate borrowing. But the bond market is now revolting. Long-term yields are exploding higher, forcing a disconnect between central bank policy and market reality. This is a financial no-man's land, where inflation is rising, but debt servicing is becoming impossible. This is exactly the kind of environment that breaks systems. We've seen it before. The Bear Stearns collapse in 2008 started with a bond market disruption. And just like back then, investors are now moving out of paper promises and into tangible assets. Only this time, they're doing it with central banks as competition. Meanwhile, the US dollar index is down 11% in 2025. Producer prices are at a three-year high, and inflation has stayed above 2% for 53 consecutive months. This isn't transitory, it's systemic, and it's pouring gasoline on silver's already red-hot fundamentals. But here's what might be the clearest signal of all: the gold-to-silver ratio. It's flashing a massive warning. And what it's predicting could be the final catalyst for a silver price eruption that rewrites history.
They don't have any idea either. I mean, the market continues to move higher, and, you know, it's without any regard for risk or risk of prevention or aversion. So I think that the pensions are in very big trouble. I mean, where do they get their yield? They're forced into the equity market because they're not getting it in the bond market. They're forced into the equity markets at all-time highs, at all-time valuations. And I think this in and of itself is scary because, you know, I believe that there, especially if we see a decrease in yield or rates, you got valuations at literally 1929 style extremes. You got all of the insiders, the veterans, Gartham and Buffett and Dalio. They're all talking of highlighting systemic risk. You have insiders selling, as we've talked about, the industrials, or the institutionals rather, Bezos and Zuckerberg unloading billions in stock. And I just think that this is a very, very dangerous time where the insiders are moving out, but the hedge fund or the pension funds don't have much choice but to speculate. They're not getting the return that they had thought they would with treasuries or had hoped for, so they have to, at that point, speculate into the equity markets as some of the most informed money in the world is moving in the other direction. And, you know, buying gold, which doesn't pay a coupon, even though it's outperformed everything, they won't even look at it. They won't even think about it. So it's putting a lot of people in, and their future in trouble, in jeopardy. I look for the pensions and to have a... before it's all said and done, the pensions will be something that you hear a lot more about, just simply because they are forced to take chances in order to get the returns that people are counting on. So, yeah, it's they're not involved in this at all. They're not involved in any commodities because they don't pay a yield. They don't pay a return. So that's off the table as far as I'm concerned.
Right now, the gold to silver ratio is sitting around 85 to 1. Meaning it takes 85 ounces of silver to equal the price of 1 ounce of gold. On paper, that might seem like a normal statistic, but in reality, it's a distortion of historic proportions. Throughout history, especially during previous precious metal bull markets, this ratio has plummeted, often to 50 to 1, 40 to 1, or even lower. In 1980, when silver skyrocketed to nearly $50, the ratio collapsed to around 15 to 1. In 2011, as silver surged again, it fell below 35 at 1. Every major silver rally has followed the same pattern. Gold moves first, then silver overreacts violently, closing the gap in spectacular fashion. So why is the current ratio at 85 to 1? Because silver has been suppressed, ignored, and artificially undervalued while gold has already been climbing. This ratio is screaming that silver is lagging far behind, and history shows it doesn't stay that way for long. When silver plays catch-up, it doesn't walk, it erupts. If gold is trading at $3,500, as it is today, and silver simply returns to a 50-to-1 ratio, we're talking about silver at $70 an ounce. At 30-to-1, that's $117. And that's without even factoring in the COMEX crisis, the physical shortage, the structural deficit, or the bond market collapse. This is why seasoned analysts call silver the gold on steroids trade. It lags at first, lulling the market to sleep. But once it snaps, it does so with a force that rewrites price charts and stuns even veteran investors. Right now, that snap is closer than ever. The monetary catalysts are in place. The industrial demand is accelerating, the supply is drying up, and the smart money is already positioned. All that's left is the trigger.
Uninformed and hypocritical, because these are the same people that are all in equities at all-time highs, at the highest valuation since the 1929 crash. Held up by seven stocks where the rest of the stocks in total are barely up at all on the Russell 2000. It's just naive as far as I'm concerned. And it's the fact that people don't understand that, yes, gold is at all-time highs or damn well near it. But because of overt suppression to make the dollar and the bond market look better than it is, no one knows where how high gold and silver should be, but this is exactly the sentiment you would want if you're already positioned, because this is why so few investors ever make money. They miss the important part of the equation, the fundamentals. They don't understand, and they just look at price, which is the ultimate tool of misdirection. That's why they do it. The big money knows that they can mess with the price and everyone else just keeps on walking. The people who understand value, understand math, understand logic, they take the time to apply it to this thesis, to this idea, would walk away saying, yeah, that's exactly why the big money is accumulating it quietly. This is the don't do as I say, do as I do. I would say that those people who are making that assessment are making a very foolish and ill-informed, hasty appraisal of the situation.
We've reached the tipping point. The physical shortage is real. The COMEX is cracking. Institutions are no longer rolling contracts. They're demanding metal. Governments are declaring silver a strategic asset. Industrial users are consuming faster than mines can produce. And the financial system itself is now lurching into chaos. All of these forces are converging into one inevitable outcome. A silver supernova. Not a slow, steady climb, but a violent parabolic move that resets everything we thought we knew about price ceilings. $100 silver? That's not a forecast anymore, it's a floor. When silver breaks out, it won't move like gold. It will explode. It will front-run retail, bankrupt over-leveraged shorts, and expose the fraudulent mechanics of the paper markets. The gold-to-silver ratio will collapse, vault inventories will be drained, and premiums will go vertical. And by the time the headlines catch up, it'll already be too late. Because the real breakout doesn't wait for confirmation. It starts in the dark, where the smart money buys, where the insiders hoard, and where the system begins to crack before anyone notices. If you've been waiting for a sign, this is it. The largest short position in over a decade, the highest EFP spread on record, the most aggressive industrial demand in history, and now a global monetary system teetering on the edge. This is not a silver rally, it's a reset. And when the dust settles, silver won't just be a precious metal. It'll be the most sought-after financial weapon in a world that no longer trusts paper promises. So if you're watching this and wondering what to do, don't wait for $100 silver to be the headline. Recognize the storm before it hits, because by then the door will be closed. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next update, because this story is far from over. And remember, this is not financial advice. Speak to a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.